Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details. Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, October 3rd, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to rank the VHS movies. My name is Ben Pearson. I am an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
Editor BJ Colangelo.
Hi, hi, hiya.
And Slash Film writers Ryan Scott.
Hey, hey, everyone. How's it going?
And Bill Bria.
Hello.
Nice voice, Bill. All right, so I have not had the chance to see any of these VHS movies, so I'm basically here today just to make sure nothing burns down. So Jacob, I'm going to hand the reins to you, and you can kick things off for us.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the VHS films, they're horror anthologies. The first one dropped in 2012, and the gimmick of them is that each one of them is a collection of found footage. Each one is, you know, 4 to 5 to 6 segments directed by different filmmakers, sometimes with, you know, interconnective tissue to tie them all together, sometimes not. And each one of them is just a grab bag of, you know, various horror concepts all told through people recording it through video cameras. Sometimes it adheres very closely to the VHS title, meaning that it's like actual tape looking. And sometimes it is just, well, this is a camera, and it's evolved over time. And the reason we have this crew together is that I think this crew is largely appreciative of the VHS series. I think there's some people out there who think that all of them are dog shit or all of them are pretty good. But I think we have a really rounded perspective, this particular crew, on the films, which for the record are in order of release: VHS, VHS 2, VHS Viral, VHS 94, VHS 99, VHS 85, and the brand new coming out on streaming this week as we record this, VHS Beyond. So I want to very quickly, like really quickly, because I want to get to the meat of this real quick, go around the table and everyone share one sentence about why you like the VHS series. BJ, go.
Why am I first? Wow. Okay. All right. One sentence as to why I like the VHS movies. Explosion of creativity.
Ryan.
Lots of different horror in one place.
Bill.
A delightful continuation of the portmanteau tradition in horror cinema.
All right. Someone reads.
And I'm going to say just a experimental landscape for people to try out new found footage ideas for better or for worse. All right. So looking at these movies, of course, the common conception is that VHS 3, VHS Viral, almost killed the series. There's a 7-year break between Viral and VHS 94, which followed, you know, 2014 to 2021. And they've been annual ever since then as they went to streaming with the Shudder. So I guess let's go and start at the bottom here. What is the worst VHS movie? Is it VHS Viral, the much maligned third entry? I have a controversial opinion here, but I'll save that for a moment. The rest of you, is Viral the bottom of our list?
Yes.
What if I were to say, I understand why people put Viral at the bottom. I hate rankings. I'm very clear about that on anytime I'm on one of these episodes. I think that the VHS series is a lot like the Scream series to me, where even the one that is considered quote unquote the worst is actually not that bad and people need to calm down. That's what I'll say on that matter.
I pretty much agree with BJ on this point. I, again, understand why Viral is usually marked down as the worst, but I don't feel any real animosity for any of the VHS entries. They are, if at their worst, and I, again, worst is a huge, like, harshly worded, harsh word there. At their worst, I think they are consistently inconsistent. And yet, you're always going to have at least one segment for me that delights you enough that you don't want to throw it out with the trash.
Jacob, do you have anything to say about this before I say my quick piece?
I just want to say that I think that the two segments directed by Benson and Moorhead, which includes the film, and Nacho Vigalondo's Parallel Dimensions segment, two filmmakers, or I guess three filmmakers, who I admire greatly, really elevate Viral. I think the segments around those two are pretty weak, and the connective tissue isn't great. But I find, especially the Benson Moorhead segment, the one out in the desert with the skaters trapped and hunted by a cult, has a real feeling of bad energy to it that I think is really unique and keeps this from being the worst for me.
Yeah, Bone Storm's great.
Bone Storm's great, and I love Nachos too. That's one of my favorite VHS segments of all time.
Yeah, see, I'm a big Nacho Vigalondo guy. Shout out to Colossal, but even. I mean, look, I admit I haven't seen this one for a long time because it's the one that I have like no desire to revisit. And I think in part because the segments surrounding the two that you have all rightfully highlighted from this one, because I agree with the earlier sentiment that maybe not Viral is not as bad as its reputation might suggest. The stuff surrounding those two better segments is, to me, the worst of all of these movies. And I also think that, okay, fine, if we have to find a way to rank these somehow, even if we all admit, hey, these are all pretty good, like, and you know, for a franchise seven movies in, the track record's good, this is the movie that pretty much almost killed the franchise. So if for no other reason, if we have to find some way to say what is the worst, this movie almost killed it dead. And with everything that came after it was revived, it would have been a real, real shame if this had killed it dead, but it came close. So that would be my only argument there, but I'm willing to hear what everybody else has to say.
Can I be controversial now or later?
Do it.
Oh, let's just get this out of the way.
I don't think VHS Viral is the worst of the series, because I think VHS 1 is the worst of the series.
I knew this was going to happen.
Wow!
I knew it!
Bold!
Oh, you're going to hate what
bold,
I have to say.
Bold! Oh my God!
Jacob teed this up for me the other day, and I knew I was going to get upset, and I thought this is what he was going to do, and now I'm mad that I'm here.
I'll say my piece, which is that VHS 1 is the only one where the filmmakers did not talk beforehand. They made their shorts in isolation. And one short about, oh my God, this woman we hooked up with is actually evil and wants to kill us, is fine. But that's pretty much the plot of every segment in the first VHS, and it gets really repetitive. And like drilled into your skull, like, man, these are telling the same story over and over again. And I know it's found footage. I know shaky cam is part of it. But starting with VHS 2, the cinematography in general becomes more palatable. VHS 1 is the one that's the shakiest, the most headache-inducing, and the most repetitive. It has no consistency. For me, VHS as a series begins with VHS 2. I think VHS 1 is a nice idea that was not pulled off until the filmmakers were allowed to talk to each other.
Okay, here's the thing. I hear you. I'm going to use my therapy voice. I hear you, Jacob. I understand where this belief is coming from. But part of my love for this franchise is the fact that this is something that so many like filmmakers get together and like make when they can't get the funding from like big studios to make something else. There is something so DIY or die about that first movie that I love so much. And I think that like, as this franchise goes on, I miss that. I miss that feeling of we are paying everybody with favors and we're just trying to like make something very fucking cool. I like that spirit like lives in my bones and like keeps me alive. And so like the fact that there is a little bit of a lack of cohesion compared to some of the further entries does not bother me, because again, like we wouldn't have the cohesion and the stuff that we get later down the line without this movie coming out and people being like, well, I'll be damned. Look at all of them doing this cool thing. And, you know, like I can't do that.
Yeah, because for me, I agree. This is the one that feels like the most like close to that Blair Witch level dangerous, where it's like, oh, man, this actually feels like something I found, and it's dirty and it's weird. And I sort of miss that. And I also think the lack of them talking to each other actually sort of works with the framing device in this one. And I will also say that the final segment in this one, 10-31-98, the radio silence one, still one of my favorites in the franchise. So like you know, there is, again, if we're going to frame arguments here, you know, you don't have the other six without this one. And so I don't know. I feel putting this at the bottom would feel dirty. It would feel like contrarian for the sake of being contrarian. I understand, like, I do get it. It's not toward the top of the list, but I don't know. The bottom feels icky.
So my choice would be that this is the top of the list for a reason, which is that I put VHS, the first VHS, on the same pedestal as I do other watershed films in the found footage subgenre. I think it was the one to come after, obviously, Blair Witch, obviously, Paranormal Activity, Cloverfield, as a proof in the concept of, okay, how can we extend the shelf life of found footage by literally just embracing the idea of the found footage that's at the core of it, which is, oh, we found this tape, which is in so many found footage films, of course, as a device, and building an anthology series around that very device. It allows you to get rid of so many of the pitfalls of, not all of them, but some of them, which is, you know, when you're dealing with a feature length film that's found footage, they always have to get to the point of, why are you still filming? Why is the camera still going? Blah, blah, blah. There's something that there's a buy-in with the idea of a VHS tape filled with, because, you know, I grew up in the era of VHS. I had so many tapes at my house that my dad recorded off of television, which were just mixtapes. He would just, you know, everybody had these, they'd sell them at swap meets still to this day, I'm sure, of families that made, this is just what I recorded off the television one night, and it's all random stuff, like stuff that shouldn't be next to each other. So like Ryan said, there's a real feeling, especially to the first film, all of them really, but really especially the first one, of like, oh, somebody might have found this, really, legitimately might have found it, and what is on this, what's coming next. And ironically, your biggest criticism, Jacob, of the movie, which, like BJ said, I hear you, it feels enough of a cohesion that like it could be the same tape, if that makes sense. I don't know.
No, it all makes it. I knew this was never going to be bottom of the list. I just want to say my piece, because this is the one where my joy for most VHS films is that each segment is a huge left turn. You jump between tones and subgenres and styles so radically in future VHS movies. It feels like a genuine grab bag. It's a delight watching VHS Beyond at Fantastic Fest the other week, and not knowing what's coming next was so much fun. Whereas VHS 1 is the only one where I kind of feel like, oh yeah, this again. Yeah, this again, this again. And Radio Silence, Ty West, like real filmmakers, David Bruckner, people who I genuinely admire work in that film. But it's not my favorite, but it sounds like on our list, our completely not locked in list, VHS 1 will be above VHS Firewall. Do we all agree on that, I guess?
Yeah, I would. Yes. I would agree with that.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I agree with that.
Jacob, let me ask you a presentation question here about this. So are we doing the full ranking of every movie? And if so, has everyone else seen VHS Beyond already? Like BJ and Bill, have you seen VHS Beyond yet?
I have not. I'm seeing it tomorrow night at Beyond Fest.
Okay.
Yeah, timing here didn't work out, so Ryan and I will do our best to explain why VHS Beyond should be near the top of this list when we get to it.
Okay.
Let's pick another contentious entry. VHS 99. I'm torn here, because VHS 99 has the single worst VHS segment, like the one where I think is the laziest, the cheapest, and the one I am least likely to watch again, which is the Gawkers. About a woman like, oh, our neighbor's actually a Medusa, and it's like the worst thing I've ever seen in a VHS movie. It's so lazy, and I kept waiting for like a twist or a punchline. It never came. but it also features To Hell and Back by Vanessa and Joseph Winter, the directors of Deadstream, which may be a top three VHS segment.
It is really great.
Yeah, I do think the thing with VHS 99, though, is that one, it's like when you get an album and like there's one song that just like so overshadows the rest of the album that you're almost like upset that that song is on the album, because it like that is the segment in VHS 99, and it raises the level of that movie. But I do think outside of that, like, I was struggling on my personal ranking. 99 is either number three or number two toward the bottom for me. Like, it's really that one segment. And so, yeah, it is a bit of a mixed bag. But if you take that one out, and I know that that's saying, like, take out the best thing. But, like, if you take that out, I just don't think everything else there is very strong or memorable.
Yeah, I mean, Gawkers is bad. Shredding is bad. Suicide Bid is okay. I'm usually a Johannes Roberts defender, but not for this one. And Ozzy's Dungeon is a big swing, a big crazy swing that I'm glad it's there, but it's not top tier VHS. So my question here, folks, I'll put this out there. Is VHS 99 the bottom of our list below Viral?
No, still not below Viral, but I would put it at number either just above or at most in like the third from the bottom slot. That would be where I would draw my line.
All I will add to the discourse of 99 is that 99 is a very difficult one for me to talk about because I love so many of the filmmakers in this one. I don't think that Gawkers is the worst segment, and I do really like that Tyler McIntyre was like, what if a little bit of stop motion? Like, that's kind of fun. I like that. I watch these movies for people doing weird, interesting stuff that they would never be able to try in a feature length version. And so 99 kind of endears itself to me in that regard, because I feel like I'm watching people go, I had this really cool idea. No one will ever let me do it outside of this, so I'm going to go for it, which I think is very cool. And yeah, the To Hell and Back is an all time great segment. So I don't know. Like, that's the problem with anthologies, is that you end up being thrown into this position of like, okay, well, where does the film overall rank versus where are these standout segments? Because I'll show my cards on the table. VHS 2 is my favorite in the entire franchise. And like 90% of that heavy lifting is because of Timo Giganto, because it's one of the greatest short films I've ever seen, period, regardless of where it's coming from. And so it's like, okay, well, does that elevate it so high that it ends up at the top of the list for me? Or do I need to take into consideration everything else around it? Like, it's hard, and it's so fucking subjective, which is why rankings give me a rash.
Which is why you love rankings, BJ.
I hate them so much.
I feel your frustration because, you know, it'd be much easier to rank the segments of each individual film than it is the films as a whole, which is why I keep going back to my general ethos about franchises and rankings and everything, which is that I know Ryan said, I think recently, about, if you take the best one out, then, you know, the rest don't matter or aren't as good and blah, blah, blah. And like how, you know, the one, you know, the Gawkers for him, you know, being left in is just like sinks the rest of the movie. I've always been of the mind that even when you have a low point in something like a franchise, or in this case, like an anthology, it only elevates the higher moments that much higher. I guess that's just a weird, like, you know, yin yang of it. So even the segments that I'm not as thrilled about in each, and there is one in each movie, really. I mean, there's none of these VHS movies that, like, I'm every single segment, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. There's one that I'm always like,
Beyond,
it's this one.
Bill.
Okay. But I will say, though, that I love a variety. I love a mixtape. I love a playlist. And it's in the joy of, like you were saying, Jacob, like, not knowing what's coming around the bend next, but also the variety of, oh, I did love this one. I mean, honestly, it's going back to why I love the album, as in music. Like, you know, it was always great to be like, okay, let's just wait through this one long dirge of a song, and then we'll get to the 3-minute pop single, and oh my God, it's so great, you know, because it comes after, you know, Revolution 9 or whatever, you know, so it's like,
right.
It's this vibe of like, I think they are party movies in that way. I think most portmanteaus can be and are, and for that reason.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think it seems like the general consensus is that 99 isn't going to rank very high.
Okay.
So my feeling was that it would maybe go above Viral or one slot above that. Is there one that anyone would nominate that is worse than 99, even though we're all kind of hesitant to say bad because we generally like these movies? Does that make sense? Like, is there one that someone would say? So, all right. So is anyone going to
like? I think it's
like,
less about thinking about what is worse and more about thinking about things that are better. And then that just happens to push things down the line.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair. Because my feeling is that 85 is the other one that I was teetering on where to put that. But I get the sense that you guys probably like 85 more than I like 85. Is that wrong to say? Or
85 has some real cool stuff in it.
It does. It does.
It has some duds, though. So real quickly, before we move to 85, would we be comfortable with the current ranking, just with three movies, being VHS 1, VHS 99, and then VHS Viral? Does that feel fair so far?
Yeah.
Of the ones we discussed, that seems like the correct order, yeah.
So 85, I really like Mike P. Nelson's segments and how he has two of them and how they interact. And you may not even realize that they're the same story being told from two POVs until late in the second one. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really cool concept. And I like how two segments are in conversation with each other. I think that, looking at the rest of them, I think that Gigi Saul Guerrero's God of Death is super ambitious and cool. And No Wake is No Wake's what I discussed, but I think the David Bruckner's framing device is neat. I just, maybe it's controversial, I think that Scott Derrickson's Dream Kill is way too ambitious for a 15-minute short and doesn't quite work.
Mm. I know this isn't the topic, but Total Copy, David Bruckner's wraparound segment, has what I think is the biggest laugh that I've had in any of the VHS movies.
Yes, I agree. It's the best punchline for sure.
Oh, God, it's so funny.
Yeah,
not even the punchline. I'm talking about the line, fuck it, let him go.
Yeah.
I struggle to keep that guy there. And they're just, nope.
Also, because this is just like a side thing, I just want the record to state that I am pro Techno God, a segment that people shit on all the time. I think it's really fun and people are just mean. Okay, that's all I'm going to say on that.
BJ, I did a show in New York City with the writer of Techno God, so we know each other.
Oh, outstanding. Yeah. I also think Natasha Crimani, who directed this, is one of like the most underutilized horror directors. And so I'm very glad she got to do Techno God. And then I was like, yay, this is going to hopefully bring bigger things for her. And then everyone's like, Techno God's absolutely the worst. And I'm like, I hate everyone and everything. Okay, bye.
And Zoe Cooper, the writer, my friend, also co-wrote the Flying Lotus segment that you love, Jacob. So she's cool.
Look, I know people who have made some of these segments too, so I'm also just trying to divorce myself from that. I think Techno God is really cool conceptually. I just think it's kind of a bit of a chore to watch, and maybe it's one of the reasons why 85 doesn't quite gel for me. That, and I wish I liked Dream Kill. Dream Kill is such a cool concept, but it's a feature concept running out of sprint.
Oh yeah, Dream Kill. Like, I really, really hope that someday this is something that they can turn into a feature, because I think just something that is very interesting and cool about just like Derrickson and C. Robert Cargill as writers is like so much of their work breathes and needs to breathe. And Dream Kill, yeah, it is running at like a breakneck pace. So I don't know. Maybe the gods will smile upon us and we'll get a feature someday.
Yeah, look, Derrickson is literally one of my favorite directors working today. So, like, it's hard for me to, like, I like that short more than you guys seem to, but I it did leave me wanting to see more, I guess, in the way that Jacob's speaking to, but not in as much of a frustrated sense. But I still think 85 didn't have, to me, any, I think, like, the average of, like, all of them are at least kind of okay. But I just don't think any of them,
standout for
like,
you?
Yeah, like none of them rose above, like at least like even 99, I guess, now that I'm talking about this out loud. Like maybe the reason I put 99 a little higher for me is that, you know, you have like that one just absolute killer segment. And 85 to me didn't go there.
No,
so
that's fair. I think that's fair. Yeah.
That's for me. And again, I like it, but it's not, you know, it's just the average of it all is just kind of okay.
So is 85 being generally okay, better or worse than VH99, which has higher highs and lower lows?
Talking about it out loud right now, having realized I think I respect the higher highs and lower lows of 99 more than the average of okay of 85.
I can back that.
I think I agree. I think that To Hell and Back elevates 99 above 85.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to agree.
All right. So we're going to temporarily lock this in. Of course, this can all subject to change.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
All right, in our weird, twisted order we're doing here, let's jump over to... Should I jump to my favorite? Since I'm kind of running the conversation anyway, I'm in charge here.
Yeah.
You don't have to ask us, you're the boss.
VHS 94 is my favorite of the series.
I love hearing that, actually. That's okay, very
exciting.
Okay, this
is where, before we get started on this, I'm just going to say that I tried very hard. This is the only one I haven't seen, and I didn't get the chance to watch it before the podcast, so I will sit this one out, and I will trust your good judgment, good people who are not me, to rank this one accordingly.
This is the one that I think has the absolute best, holy crap, I don't know what's going to happen next, like, lineup. Each segment is so different, so totally different, stylistically different genres. First of all, Hail Ratma, everybody. Hail Ratma.
Oh, Hail Ratma. Hail Ratma.
Hail Ratma. Yeah.
Ratma is the best creature in all of the VHS series.
Which yeah, if there was going to be any spinoff movies from these movies, come on, where's my Ratma movie?
Empty Wake by Simon Barrett is so simple and so scary. I love that it's essentially one camera angle for like large chunks of it. It's like not enough people do like a security camera like horror movie where it's just like, let's watch this one room as things change in wide shots. So scary. Like straight up genuinely one of the scariest VHS segments. The Subject by Timo Tahanto is maybe not quite as good as its VHS 2 segment, but it's a big, ambitious, crazy sci-fi swing. And Terror, the final segment, just vampires versus extremist group, militia extremist group, is just so unusual and unique and special. Even the framing device here, which has some kind of iffy acting, to put it politely, I think is more intense than some of the others we've seen. I think 94 is the whole package. I think after Viral, they needed a knockout slam dunk. And every part of VHS 94 is either fun or cool. And I love this movie.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great way to put it. I mean, Terror has such a great texture to it. Maybe the best of the entire series so far in terms of its VHS-ness. You know, it's verisimilitude-ness. And it's funny that you single out, you know, Holy Hell as being fun despite itself, because it does feel like it is the of to date. I haven't seen Beyond yet, so I don't know. But from what I understand, that to date, the last wraparound, you know, segment of like lore for VHS movies, which has always been a weaker point for the series, and they abandoned it rightfully, I think. But it is funny that Jennifer Reeder, at some point, it feels like she's like, okay, let's just have fun with this because it doesn't make any sense. Like, who cares, you know?
Yeah, Beyond brings back a framing device, but it's not as like narrative driven as 94's is.
Okay. It's not as lore-y. Okay.
Yeah, it's more about just texturally connecting the stories in a creepy way. But goodness, I just think back to the first time I saw Ratma, and I'm very, very excited about Ratma. Whenever anybody says Hail Ratma, I know they're a friend. BJ, is this one of the best one? Am I crazy?
Oh no, you're not crazy. 94 is one of my absolute favorites of the entire series. Storm Drain is so great. I love that there's also like the little Veggie Masher commercial, which is like Stephen Kostansky just being Stephen Kostansky. Also, apparently a VHS movie is happening outside my house because someone's using a buzzsaw, so that's cool. But yeah, it's great. It's great.
I know, Ryan, you have not seen 94, but are you comfortable with this one? Actually, first of all right. Is this ranking higher than VHS 1? I know Bill and BJ feel very, and Ryan feel very strong about VHS 1, and I don't. But it sounds like there's at least some support for 94 here. So where would this
I mean,
one
this
go?
Is one, I think, honestly, this is the second in line for me. So therefore, if it took the top spot, I would not be mad about it.
Ooh. Okay, so here's my thinking. If it goes above VHS 1, I'm very much okay with that. I am. because we haven't even discussed my favorite yet. So
I'll put it alongside the first VHS on our list for now. We'll duke that out later. But you said VHS 2 is your favorite, right, BJ?
Oh, yeah. VHS 2 is my favorite because to me, this feels like the perfect balance of them still having kind of that DIY or die kind of energy that the first one had, but there's a little bit more coherence in terms of what's going on. But more than anything, it has Safe Haven. And Safe Haven is just unbelievable. And the fact that you go from Safe Haven to then like Slumber Party Alien Abduction, you're getting two like wildly different segments that I like so much. And I also, you know, I like Ride in the Park. I like Eduardo Sanchez's one. I think that's great. I do like Phase One Clinical Trials, Adam Wingard's, you know, piece that people are usually really harsh on. But like Safe Haven is legitimately the best short film I've ever seen in my life, period. And the fact that Timo getting to make Safe Haven and then also Ellis for Libido and the ABCs of Death as sort of his like launch pad to now he's made so many incredible feature films. He's the one that's in charge of the Train to Busan remake. And the only reason that I'm not worried about that remake is because I know he's behind it. And to know that like he's that like horror Hollywood story that people always dream about where they make a really cool short film and it launches their entire career. And we get to see that with this franchise, and that elevates this above and away everything for me, because ultimately that's something that I love about anthologies. That's something that I love about short films, and it doesn't happen very often. And it does with this one.
I'll agree that Safe Haven is the best horror short ever made. I also want to point out that Timo co-directed this with Gareth Evans, who's another genius, like two of the
yes, yes, correct. Yeah.
And I just wanted to say about that, Timo and Gareth teamed up together feels to me like the short film, horror film equivalent of when Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie did a song together, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, look, Safe Haven is, I mean, there's a reason everyone still talks about it, and I will say this to sort of show something that Jacob and I are going to have to try to convey to you guys in a bit. Heading into Fantastic Fest, if you had asked me about this, I would say without hesitation that VHS 2 is my favorite of the franchise, and it wouldn't have been, you know, from there, it's just a silver medal discussion for me. But the longer I've sat with it, the more I've come to the conclusion that I think VHS Beyond has unseated for me.
Really? Wow. Which segment?
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that in a second, but so, like, for me, you're going to get no pushback from me, even if this ends up at the very top of the list, because I get it. It is a perfect, to me, like, it is the perfect example of what a horror anthology should be and why you should do these things and why they're fun, why they're important. Because even outside of Safe Haven, like, I would say, even if you're taking the 99 argument here, if you take Safe Haven out of it, it's still really, really good. But then it has Safe Haven, which is just as good as its reputation suggests it is. So, you know, I have nothing but love for this, and I'm not pushing back on anything anyone said. I'm just more saying that, like, we have two near perfect horror anthologies that we're going to have to sort of figure out here. But if this ends up at the top of the list, I ain't going to be sad.
Yeah, this is where I'm torn, because Phase One Clinical Trials by Adam Wingard is good. I'm with BJ here. It's good. Ride in the Park is very simple. I think 10 years ago or 11 years ago, a GoPro found footage horror movie like this was a bit more unique. So I think it feels less special now, but it's still good. Slumber Party Alien Abduction, kick ass, really, really good. But Safe Haven is just so transcendentally good that I just wonder, at what point do we need to, like, talk about our love of Safe Haven versus our love of the overall anthology? I know the whole thing is solid, as Ryan said, take it out, it's still a good movie, but does Safe Haven being so much better than virtually anything made in the past 15 years of horror, if I may go that far, does that, like, weirdly disqualify it because it makes the movie uneven? I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here.
No, because like I said, I really believe that even if you took Safe Haven out of it, it's still, I would boldly say this is still probably near the top of the list. But then you add Safe Haven being that ridiculously good, and especially the jump in quality. Now, as much as I love the first VHS for the reasons that I said, the jump in quality being what it is too, and sort of allowing this franchise a future, because I think if VHS 2 had not been as good as it was, VHS Viral might have actually killed the franchise for good. but because VHS 2 was so good, it sort of allowed the franchise to weather eventually in some way, like returning. So that's the other argument that I would make.
All right. So here's my question. VHS, VHS 94, and VHS 2 are all kind of on the same level on my ranking right now. Right now, they're kind of tied above in order. VHS 99, VHS 85, VHS Viral. So before we even talk about Beyond, because I think that's going to be a whole thing that Ryan and I need to try to get this across in the best way we can. Where do we rank these? It sounds like we're all over the place on which of those would be a potential number one. I said I'm a 94 guy, but also I can't argue with VHS 2 taking a top spot if that's where it goes. I'm going to stamp my feet about VHS 1 being number one. So can we at least agree if VHS 94 and 2 would rank above 1 on our group list?
Again, I can't speak to 94, but I never intended to put the first one at number 1. But I was going to fight against it being at the bottom. But I don't think the first one goes to the top for me.
I have just become fine. Very zen with the ranking. That's the choice that I have.
Yeah, that's
decided.
The only way to get out of this.
I'm protecting my mental health by not investing in the numbers.
numbers are just a state of mind, man.
Yeah, numbers are just a state of mind.
Can I ask a weird way to go about this?
Yeah, what's up?
Ben, you haven't got to weigh in here in a minute. Based on having not seen these and only what we've said and the arguments we've made, does anything stand out to you as a completely observant party?
I would say, based on the tenor of the conversation that's been had, VHS 2 should be number one, VHS 94 should be directly below that, and then VHS should be in the number 3 slot above 99, 85, and Viral so far.
That's exactly where I would have went.
This is why moderators are very important during a debate.
Moderators, fact checkers, we need them.
We need them.
Okay, so let's temporarily say VHS 2 number one, then 94, then VHS. Since Ryan wrote the review, can I take the initial lead on VHS Beyond here, Ryan, then hand it off to you?
Oh, please, by all means.
VHS Beyond is the most consistent VHS movie. There are no dips. The worst segment is still very good and very creative. The best segment posits a future where VHS storytelling is really unshackled. I'll say Kate Siegel's segment, which is written by Mike Flanagan, is so different from any other VHS segment, both in terms of its tone, pacing, character development, and aesthetics, that it cannot be classified against them. It kind of rewrites the rules of what a VHS segment can feel like in terms of the horror it wants to present. It is remarkably good, extremely scary, and up there with Hell and Back and Safe Haven for maybe the top 3 VHS segments. That said,
wow.
The rest of them also kick ass. The first segment, without spoil much here because the movie is about to hit streaming, is essentially what if Wreck met Resident Evil, real video game energy. One of them is essentially what if there was a horror event on a Bollywood musical set. One of them is a friggin' skydiving expedition gone wrong with like people falling out of an airplane with GoPros. And one of them is a straight up horror comedy. It's straight up like goofball, crazy, like silly R-rated horror comedy, as opposed to like a little bit of hard, a little comedy tinge in there. That's Fur Babies from Christian Long and Justin Long. The level of ambition in Beyond, and they're all sci-fi stories is the connecting tissue here. There's ambition, and there's like creative spark, and you generally get the sense that everyone here wants to outdo each other. And like you can feel the friendly rivalry like pulsing through Beyond. Everybody's here to kick ass. And I think Kate Siegel kicks the most ass, but they all do. Ryan, why is Beyond your favorite of the bunch?
Now you see, this is where I'm glad you talked first, because here's what's interesting. The one you talk about with Kate Siegel and which a lot of people are coming out saying this is the best, to me was one of my least favorites of this bunch. Yet it speaks volumes about, I will back up 100% what Jacob said, is that the average of these segments here is by far the best of the, that's where I land, where I eventually came to my head of saying, you know, I have to let go of my nostalgia for 10 years and go, just because VHS 2 has been my favorite and the best of the bunch does not mean it needs to stay that way. And I'm a huge sci-fi horror guy anyway, and the average of all of these is incredible. It starts out with what is one of my top three of the VHS franchise. And I don't want to spoil anything because it's so new, but like the way this movie opens right away, and I'm just like, oh my God, hell yeah. Can it possibly be this good? And then it's like, it continues to be awesome. And then you even get to the one that I'm a little mixed on and you're still like, hell yeah, with a question mark, because it's such a big swing and you respect it so much. And the sheer production value is way over the top for this one, like compared to the other ones, sort of the inverse of the first one feeling dirty. This one is just straight up like, look, forget that it doesn't feel dirty. This is just like ridiculously A-class filmmaking for something that's still somehow cheap. Yeah, I mean, it's just the sheer staggering average of these and the variance of like Fur Babies, without getting too much into it, is one that was co-directed by Justin Long and Christian Long. And, you know, for those of you who have defended Kevin Smith's Tusk all these years, you're in luck. You know, like it's just and I mean that like even a guy who doesn't love Tusk, but kind of love that segment, like it's just, it's audacious. It's so ambitious. It's the most maybe just overtly fun, like top to bottom. The wraparound is fun. It just, I don't know. I am so, whereas at a seventh entry, you would think a franchise is like, all right, let's wrap this up. And now I'm like, suddenly because of this movie, I'm filled to the brim with, oh no, this just gave this new life for God knows how long. And yeah, so I know without you guys having seen it, but it is that good. And I feel that strongly about it.
Yeah. Jordan Downey, who directed the first one, give him a Resident Evil movie. Like, right, Ryan? Like, Jordan Downey should be getting Resident
now,
Evil.
Now, right now, right now.
That's an important aspect to consider with this ranking, though, which is the fact of legacy, impact, you know, all that sort of thing. Obviously, if we're going on a, you know, how did this franchise get to where it still is and maybe where it can still go, I would argue for VHS 2 remaining at the top spot just because of, you know, it has a now pointable legacy to it. It's like, okay, we can point to that movie and say, this is why. But I do appreciate the perspective that Beyond has obviously given you guys of like, oh, this franchise may have been reaching its endpoint and therefore now it's not maybe. Now it's maybe got a whole new jumping off point, but we don't know that yet. So I know that there's a recency bias aspect to this. So it's like, how do we judge that versus these other more demonstrable, you know, movies of like, okay, this is why we've gotten to this point, if that makes sense.
My expectation was always that we were never going to convince anyone yet that Beyond is actually the best of the franchise. But my expectation is that maybe like Beyond would wind up at about number two, having not seen 94 to weigh it against that. You know, but like I still, even though like in my head Beyond is my new favorite, I still anticipated going into this that VHS2 would probably take the top spot above it, if that at all makes this at all easier.
Would it move the needle if I said The Framing Device was a fake UFO documentary directed by Jay Cheel?
That honestly was a huge selling point for me. But at this point, I am feral to watch Kate Siegel's segment, which should not be a surprise to anyone who knows me.
May I recommend that we put this at number three?
Okay.
What goes at number two, Jacob?
94. So it would be in order going from the top to bottom. VHS 2 would be number one. VHS 94. VHS Beyond. VHS 99, 85, and Viral. Would that be a list that satisfies the group?
It's tough for me having not seen 94 and being able to weigh in.
Hail Rat Mart.
But right. But even having said that, like, if I like VHS 94 as much as I like VHS Beyond, this is now my new favorite horror franchise of all time. I don't necessarily see that happening, but so I would personally feel better with Beyond at number two. But again, with half of the panel having not seen it, it's hard for me to make that argument. So I just wanted to say my piece that I feel that strongly about Beyond, but I could get behind that ranking.
BJ, do you think it makes sense to put Beyond number three, having not seen it?
I mean, I'm okay with it. It sounds like it's awesome. I've heard pretty much exclusively only positive things out of Fantastic Fest, especially from people that I tend to align with, and also from people that I tend to not align with, which doesn't happen all the time. And again, I'm zen with the ranking.
What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, I think that this is not my personal list, obviously. And of the ones of us having this discussion who's seen all of them, you know, this is more Jacob's thing, and I trust his judgment. So I think if he thinks that's fair, then we can all abide by it.
Here's a deal I'll make. If when Bill sees VHS tomorrow, and when BJ presumably watched it when it hit streaming this weekend, if you guys don't like it, you can come on this show and yell at me for 5 minutes, and we'll include it on a future episode.
Can we call the segment "Dunk the Jacob"?
Yes, absolutely.
We'll put it as a post credit scene or something in a random episode.
Okay.
As a group list, we got to play fair. I understand that, and I would not be pushing it this hard if I didn't feel.
Yeah. As an addendum to Jacob's offer, you all are allowed to attack me on Slack with how wrong I am, which happens frequently around those parts anyway. But I'll screenshot it and post them all over my socials if anybody, I'll offer that up. Or like if you guys disagree, I will. Now you're not allowed to just, you know, out of temptation for having that happen, just say that you hate it. But, you know, like I will.
I bully Ryan enough on this show. I don't need reasons for it.
Well, those of you listening at home, this will become a Slash Film list. You've heard the list get made in real time. Now our job is to write this thing.
Should we go over the official list now? Because okay.
Let's go from the bottom to the top. Number 7, VHS Viral. Number 6, VHS 85. Number 5, VHS 99. Number 4, VHS. Number 3, VHS Beyond. Number 2, VHS 94, and number 1, VHS 2.
You know, now that I hear that, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and as much as I don't like VHS 1, I think for a group list, it makes sense being square in the middle. I'm happy with that there.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds good to me read out loud. Truly, it does. And regardless of how I feel about Beyond, it is hard to argue against VHS 2 being at the top of this list, and I think any fan of this franchise would agree with that.
Ben, I know you're the VHS virgin here, but you need to go watch Safe Haven, the third segment of VHS 2.
I know. As you guys were talking, I was wondering if it's like just been cut out and put on YouTube by itself or something. I need to try
I'm
to see
I'm certain
that thing
it probably
out.
Has. But I mean, honestly, VHS 2, I know, Ben, you're not the biggest horror guy around. VHS 2 is worth the journey if you can, you know, just for that alone, if you can get through it. But
okay. Cool. All right. Well, yeah, that sounds good. And for everybody listening, VHS Beyond hits Shudder tomorrow, so Friday, October 4th. So put that on your radars. If you're not interested in it, why are you listening to this show? Okay. I think that'll do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about all of the VHS movies at slashfilm.com and linked inside the show notes for this episode. I will put a few things, including Bill wrote a story recently about the real story behind the VHS horror movies. Ryan has a review of VHS Beyond, so I'll link to those. Maybe a couple other articles if I can track some down as well. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.